few things I was thinking about tonight was really just about being or having joy. You know, having joy and having an understanding of what that requires. You know, to have a really a commitment to that. So it's the new year, we all know, and we're looking forward to a new year. I'm looking forward to a new year with 2021 straight ahead and 2020 clearly in the rearview mirror. That's a good thing. A couple of things to think about for tonight. I came up with, well, I have a list of commitments that I thought would be interesting to kind of go through, but I'm going to go to the first bit. So let's start in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Let's start there. So I'm going to flip to 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So when we think about what Paul is trying to communicate here, and it's really about understanding what we expect with Scripture. So when we read Scripture, we should expect it to show me something, you know, from my personal experience, that number one, I need to know and be taught, or that something I need to stop, you know, that I may be rebuked in something that I'm doing, something that I may need to change or convert or correct, you know, correct into something, do something different or do. So training us in righteousness. So as we read scripture, we're looking to, we're getting direction on things to know, things to stop, change or do. So there's an exercise, that some folks do every year and, you know, they do resolutions. I like to call them goals, you know, for the new year, because resolutions is, you know, nothing's really resolution there usually sometimes. But goals are different, right? So if we set goals for ourselves in the new year, it can be exciting. And as a Christian, as a believer, you know, we can set goals. We can actually set goals every day if we wanted to, you know, like, sometimes I actually do, but to be renewed and have that renewable element to understand what we need to do and be taught through it, through the word, is what we can dive into every day, right? So when we read into scriptures, the things we want to do is we want to read and get knowledge. So we want to stop the things we shouldn't be doing, right? Or, correct some things. Maybe there's some things that we're doing that, you know, they aren't fruitful. We want to stop them. We want to correct those things. And then we want to train in righteousness with digging into the word. So sort of that as a backdrop, I was thinking about looking at commitments. So for 2021, we're really trying to find joy. At least I will be trying to find a little more joy, you know, in this year. And as we get through COVID-19, you know, we're going to be looking to find more joy in our journey as we go, you know, and we should be doing that. And it's been a challenge for me personally over the past 8 months to find joy in that journey. It's been rough waters, I'd say, you know, with certain personal developments and experiences through that process. I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that, you know, over the last 8 months and being isolated and just changing your process. But five commitments. Here's five. Made a commitment to, and these are the things that I've made a commitment to, right? And this is in accordance to what I'll do this year, and it will continue to do some of the things we've done in the past. So, number one, to study the Word of God diligently and to turn myself over to study, okay? Number two, to not get offended by truth. Number three, not to change what I believe in the Bible, or never to change our doctrine, but to grow in the quality of it. So understand what we know, what we believe, and not trying to create something out of it that's not in the doctrine that we know and not in the Bible, but understanding the quality of what we have. And number four, never to mistrust people despite that people fail. So understanding that, you know, there are certain people that fail. There will be certain opportunities we'll be able to forgive them, you know, and I think that's an opportunity that we shouldn't miss. And number five, to go to three services a week. Now that's a challenge, you know, whether it's in person or online through Zoom. So we could go either way, you know, in terms of being at service. So those are commitments. So through that process, through those commitments, there's a lot of activity that needs to happen through those commitments. We need to study. We need to dive into the Word. We need to have a commitment to that. And through this commitment, all of these things and these commitments that I've made are going to bring joy. You know, there's going to be joy in all of this as we go through this journey, because there should be, because we're not here not to have that kind of joy. And if we deny ourselves that, then that's one of the things that maybe we need to stop doing, you know, is denying us that and then change it and then redirect some of that activity so it brings us more joy. So there are three characteristics that kind of go along with some of these commitments. And one was to have a single eye toward God and be quick to repent and be restored if I fail. So if we fail, you know, in these goals, you know, there's an opportunity to just say, whoops, you know, I missed it. I'm going to reset my goal and I'm going to continue on, you know, because it's just not over. It continues. Life continues. Number two is to be led by a God spirit and not by works. So God is going to lead me in what I'm doing and nothing else, right? So God is going to be leading the way. Number three is not be stubborn and short-sighted when blind spots are revealed, but will humble myself and receive grace. You know, we sometimes don't know we have blind spots until actually we find out the hard way we have blind spots. You know, so that can be humbling through that process. Pastor Doug talked about Ephesians 6, and I'll get into this in a little bit, but Ephesians 6, where we put on the armor of God, and, you know, maybe there's a chink of armor that, you know, one of those arrows kind of gets in the middle there, those fiery darts that kind of gets underneath the armor that we miss. That's a blind spot, you know, that, ooh, you know, you feel that pinch, you know, whatever that may happen, that can happen. But we have to be mindful of the blind spots, you know, not to be overly confident in some of the things we're doing, but take it with, be humble and know that God is in control. So those are three sort of characteristics that could come of that. I'm going to dive into a little more scripture. So if we look at, if we go to Psalm, let's go to Psalm 34. So Psalm 34, 4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So this morning, Pastor Doug had a lot of good points. Had a lot of points in general, I think, and a lot of good ones too. That really stuck out. One of them, when he talked about, was fear. So you know, it's if we grow in confidence, as we grow, our confidence increases our awareness of his greatness, both in his love for us and his power towards us. So we will become increasingly more dependent on him to direct us and enable us. So this is walking in the Spirit, right? We all might be familiar with that term a little bit, but walking in the Spirit. And I'll get into that a little more. I'll unpack that a little more in a little bit. But if we also flip ahead to Psalm 37, verses 3 through 4, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And reading on to 5 through 8, says, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. So there's been a lot of fretting the last probably 8 months, maybe more so is it in the last two, for different reasons. You know, maybe it's COVID-19, maybe some sort of political element, social element that's taking place. You know, that there's a lot of fretting going on, you know. But even though that we have to work through that and live through that, that we set our hearts on the Lord, right? We set our hearts on him. That guides us through all of this unrest and all of this potential turmoil, you know, between different people and situations. So we intentionally commit all of our plans to God each day. So we trust him and we wait patiently for him. That was another thing Pastor Doug said, by the way, this morning. His favorite word, patient, if he's watching, patience. You know, I know he likes that word. But we have to be patient. It is tricky to be patient, certainly in times in general, but now it can't be tricky to be patient. Although I personally think I've become a little more patient in understanding, you know, how many people can go in a grocery store. You know, I'm like, all right, well, I'll wait, you know. How many people can go up and down an aisle, you know? You know, get that do not enter sign. You go, oh, yep, I have to go around, you know? Finding patience through the process is a challenge. But I have faith in God. You know, I have faith that this soon will pass, just like everything else, and that we will have opportunities through this process to experience joy, to dig a little deeper in our own spiritual journey, and make the most of where we are in our walk. You know, because this is a short time. In Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything, right? And this is a time for something else. You know, so there's always a time. There's a purposeful time for everything. And if we kind of have that mindset, and we grow in confidence in that, then everything else should really, as we go through situations, we should be equipped to get through that situation more efficiently. All right, so I'm going to go something else. We're going to go to Psalm 90, verse 12. So Psalm 90, verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Right. So imagine if we knew how many days we had on the earth. I mean, wouldn't that be interesting? You know, like if I knew I was just going to be here for like another year, like I had 360 days left, right? Let's say. That'd be pretty amazing, because then I could plan accordingly. I'd be like, look, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And, you know, you'd have a different type of viewpoint, right? You'd have a different mentality. But we don't know. We don't know when God is going to take us home with him. We don't know how long we'll all be here. So that's a mystery, you know, and he keeps us guessing, keeps us on our toes. So with that, you know, if we are continuously on that journey, then we should find joy in it. You know, we should have a commitment to doing that as we progress through the journey. Otherwise, we're really just wishing things along faster. You know, like, I wish we can get through the situation. I wish I could get this, you know, the virus and get through this thing by staying at home and this isolation and all these restrictions and everything else. You know, it's situational. You know, and God guides us through that process. And again, Pastor Doug made another point there this morning about going through that, using the Bible and the Word as a way to get through those situations, not to be dictated by the situation, but using God's Word to get through it. So we recognize God's Word as really a divine source of inspiration, and we submit to it. We talk a lot about submission and, you know, giving ourselves up to God. And what does that really mean? You know, what does it mean to submit yourself to the Word? You know, like, That's a question to think about as, you know, as we go home tonight or whenever, we think about it. What does that mean to submit? I mean, I can say, I submit to this, I submit to that. But when you really submit to something, you're making a commitment to something that you're putting that above everything else, right? That's your submission. You know, I'm putting this Word above I'm getting up. So you, if you wanted to study the Word, for example, here's an example. I'm going to submit to the Word, which means I need to make a sacrifice. So I need to get up a little, an hour earlier to submit another hour of study time to be in the Word, right? That's an example of submission. I'm submitting to that. So I'm foregoing that Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening to watch football by coming to church. Not that I would want to sit there and watch NFL football on Sunday night, but point is that you submit yourself to these situations, and you say, you know, I'm going to make a commitment to this, and you surrender to it, right? That's what I was thinking of, surrender and submission as two separate same things. But you submit yourself to something and you surrender in it, right? So you surrender in the Word, and you surrender yourself to not think the way you think you should be thinking, but you transition that thought and you try to align your mind and your mindset with the Word of God, right? And that's looking through a different lens in how we see the world. So in Galatians 5:16, when we talked about walking in the Spirit, it says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So the word walk here in Greek is parapateo. So that's P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. And that's to walk at large, especially as proof of ability, or to be occupied with or engaged in. And in this instance, the tense of this verb implies progression or steady progress in grace. So, see that? Boom. Walking in spirit right there. The Holy Spirit monitors and empowers us, right? So the indwelling spirit brings the word of personal warning to mind. So we become more internally motivated as our hearts learn to inhibit disobedience instead of relying on our minds to memorize rules and wrestle to obey certain, well, I suppose just basic rules. But learning to walk in the spirit brings a gradual movement from mental rules to an obedience rooted in the heart, rooted in the heart's conviction. So in other words, instead of thinking about, you know, should I go over there and, you know, steal that orange? You know, that's not a good idea, right? But you don't have to wrestle with that in your mind when your heart, you have conviction. And it's not guilt. You know, there's a difference between guilt and conviction. It's not guilt. You know, I feel bad. You know, if I took that and someone's going to go without, that's guilt, right? You're feeling bad about something. That's a feeling. Conviction is driven from the heart. It's more of an active element of doing something. You know, like I'm driven to do this. I'm convicted because I'm motivated more so from my heart to do something that rather than feeling driven by a feeling, you know, of guilt. So that's walking in the spirit. Now, as believers, you know, we walk after or according to the spirit and the word of God. And this is our really standard conduct, right? That's our standard that we sort of establish. Even at times we may not be in compliance with that standard. You know, that happens. But if we look at Romans 13:14, it says, we put on Jesus and make no provision for the flesh. So we continue to come back to the word. We continue to submit ourselves to the word. We come back to the word. We're not driven forward by the flesh. Right? And that's how we are commanded through the word to walk by the spirit, which simply means to practice our position of being committed to the word of God as our standard of living, right? So we're continuously committed to the word. And in this process, when we commit to the word, I say we're committed to joy, because when we read the word, we find joy, you know? And when we find that joy, we continue to press on. We continue to dig it a little deeper, have actual engagement with the word, and we move the conversation forward, you know, for us spiritually. More than just thinking about, well, I really should do this, really have to do this. But we're driven by, you know, we're driven by a conviction to be in the word, to be connected, more connected in our study, in our growth. So I want to look at, I'm going to flip to Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. So Ephesians 6, starting at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So as we are in our prayer life, as we are continuously in the word, we are walking the spirit. You know, we are walking as an ambassador of Christ. Now, I'm going to go into the verses prior to that as a sort of a word of caution, because some things do happen in that process. And that's starting with Ephesians 6. We'll stay there for a second, but I want to kind of highlight a couple things that Satan might be doing to keep us from following God. You know, I think that there are some really basic things that pop up that we may not recognize, that we may just think, well, this is just everyday life. You know, I got to kind of push through COVID-19, got to push through. You know, I got to do these things. I can't be with anybody. I can't be with the body because we're not essential. Boy, no, we are now. Sorry. I'm kidding. actually, that in the beginning of this, I have to say personally, I mean, that was difficult for me, you know, to not be able to join everybody in fellowship. It's tricky not to lose that fellowship, you know, with everybody in the body. I think that that's, maybe I'm the only one thinking that way, but, you know, lacking that fellowship when we couldn't do the cantata. You know, that was sad. You know, it was for me, in at the time, I thought to myself, like, oh, this is just too crazy. And we couldn't go forward with it. I mean, it was the right decision not to go forward with it. Of course, we couldn't anyway, because all the restrictions, but that was a big, in my opinion, that was a big hole in fellowship for the year. You know, if I look back at 2020 and I say, oof, man, you know, what went right? What didn't, you know, where were there sort of opportunities for improvement? And fellowship was one of them because of that big hole that COVID-19 has sort of, had left in that area. I mean, it is getting better, you know, and it's great that we're able to connect online, Zoom or Facebook or, you know, whatever we're able to do. I mean, I think it accelerated some, different opportunities for the church and for everyone to make connections. But fellowship is one that can easily distract us, right? If we don't have fellowship, right? If we don't have fellowship, that can easily distract us to getting away from the word, because then we're relying on ourselves and not so much the body to guide us forward. But also, there's great joy in fellowship. You know, there's a lot of joy in being around the body and being with, around people that are studying the word, and we have great joy in all the things that we do together as a body. But here's things that Satan might do to keep us from following God. So things we need to be mindful of. So number one, keep us busy with non-essentials, right? So things that are just keep us busy. Busy work could be a lot of different things. You know, we could define as non-essentials. Number two is it could tempt us to maybe overspend or to go into debt. You know, this is something that could happen. It's pretty easy to do. Number three, work long hours to maintain empty lifestyles. You know, so for some of us, to either if we're still able to go out and work in person, or some of us that are at home, I'm among the folks at home in isolation. So you know, you work long hours, and sometimes things can get a little empty. I've worked from home for a long time. So, which is good. It's been great. But this year has been terrible. It's been like the worst year to work from home because everybody else is doing it. And it was, I didn't travel as often, which was okay too, but just not being able to connect with people in person has been, you know, tricky. But I like to call like some of these things like blur day, you know, cause every day seems the same. You know, you wake up, go to work. I mean, for me, I'm working from home. So it's like, I have to stay home. I have to be in the house. I get up, you know, go online, work, and it's just like the same old thing. Then you make dinner, you continuously every single day. It's the same thing. So I just call it blur day, you know, cause I think like, you know, it's Tuesday. And I'm thinking, oh, today's Thursday. Oh, no, wait, it's Tuesday. You know, I'm like, what's going on? You know, so that happens. But working long hours can be a tricky thing to navigate. We have to all have to work, and maintaining that, the balance in that, in our lives is a challenge. But number four, discourage us from spending family time. So with that, you know, with long hours, you know, we might get distracted and we might not be able to spend time with family. And that can have a negative impact. So number five, we can overstimulate our minds with computers, phones, entertainment, so we can't hear God speak to us. You know, there's been many times, you know, I think Pastor Doug might have mentioned this morning as well about phones, you know, being distracted by phones, you know, and that is, wow, it's everywhere. You know, people are on a phone all the time. And I don't know the number of times people check their phones a day. I don't know if anybody knows that, but it's a high number. You know, I mean, it's crazy. Like people just check it, like, all right, well, nobody texts me. I mean, like every 5 minutes, you know, I mean, there are times where I put the phone down, you know, cause I'm like, I want to have quiet time. And that actually does take effort. There's a commitment in that too, I have to say. So there's a commitment really in a lot of different things, but being overstimulated, I think is not a good thing. That takes us away from hearing God's word. So number six, keeping us focused on maybe outward appearances. So possibly being dissatisfied with ourselves or with our significant others, whether wives or husbands, but being focused on the outward appearance, that can distract us from keeping us closer to God. You know, we can get distracted easily there. Number seven, we can involve, there's eight of these, by the way. So in case you're counting. So, involve us in good causes, but not in eternal ones. So, you know, sometimes we get caught, we're in a good cause for certain things, but there are other times where we only have so much time in a day, you know, that we should really commit ourselves to other causes too. Good causes are good, but not just good causes, but eternal ones as well, to have the balance. You know, we need to have more balance in our lives to really connect with God. And not to look at these good causes because it just makes us feel better about ourselves, but do them because we're doing with the Spirit, God, you know, in our heart. And then 8, and this is the last one. Make us self-sufficient. So keep us so busy working in our own strength that we'll never know the joy of God's power working through us. You know, so we can get caught up in that and we're just going through the motions and joy is missed, you know? So we have to have that discernment that we're looking for joy, that we're committed to finding it and having it, you know, not being happy. So right, like we all know, I hope we all know that, you know, the differences between happiness and joy, you know, joy is more of a sustained state of being, whereas happiness is more of an emotional, connection, right? So having that long sustained joyous experience is more desirable, right? So if we look at Ephesians 6:10, I'm going to start there. So this is where it's important for us to be in the Word, to have the armor of God, to be committed to studying the Word and being and equipping ourselves with what we need to just be prepared for spiritual warfare, right? So if we look at Ephesians 6:10 starts, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." So I mentioned this earlier. In all these things, the things I mentioned about what Satan can do to distract us from joy in our commitment to following God, all those fiery darts, you know, the fiery darts and those blind spots that we need to be aware of in the spiritual warfare. So whenever we're in a situation that we understand that we're under attack, but we are also equipped to overcome that situation. You know, we are equipped because we have the armor, we have the Word, and we're able to put this on and move forward in this warfare that we're in. Right. So going to I know it's going to flip back to the beginning. So when we study, you know, we study. And we're committed to the study. We're committed to what we're doing. We're committed to a life with Christ. And we're committed to, you know, to walk in the Spirit. We're committed to whatever commitments or goals or resolutions. No, I won't call it resolutions. The goals that we make for ourselves in the year, right? But we're committed to those things. And we should commit ourselves to them. You know, if we have certain goals in the year. And I actually, as you can tell by all these numbers here, I like to write lists of things. So I'm like, you know, I like to write lists down. I like to write daily goals of our monthly goals, but daily activities like a to-do list of things I need to do. But it helps me focus. You know, it helps me focus on what's important. You know, it helps me focus on having balance, having an understanding of, hey, you know what? I need to dial it back on whatever work stuff I'm doing and, you know, have a place for work, especially working at home, have a place for that, have a place for fellowship, have a place for family. Time for God, you know, different places that can help transition, you know, throughout the day. Because otherwise it does become blur day. And that's not so good. Not for me. I'll say that. But there is a thing that happens. And so if we look at our spiritual journey and our commitment throughout the year, here's how I anticipate, and I'm not, you know, a futurist or anything else, but this is how I anticipate it would look. Okay, so here we have our trust. Okay. And here we have a timeline. Okay. And this is our, let's say our spiritual birth, or let's say, maybe this is, let's call it journey, right? So here we go. In our trust, we study the word, we get built up, something bad happens. Oh boy, you know, our trust goes down. You know, those fiery darts get a little, we get a little shot from one of those fiery darts. Bullseye, we're there. But then things pass and we get a little better at certain things. And all of a sudden, you know, boom, we get hit with something else. Maybe here, or maybe not that far, but we go here, right? Maybe it's a little setback, you know? Hopefully it's not down here, but it's here, you know, and we continue to climb and we continue to do this. And it's a pattern, you know, and this is sometimes can be a spiritual journey, right? And that can be within that journey. There's warfare. There's joy. There's a lot of different things that happen in between all these little peaks and valleys, right? And the word of God is going to take us peak to peak, right? It's going to bring us from, it's going to hopefully diminish this valley, as we grow and get bigger. And maybe these dips get a little shorter, you know, and maybe in the beginning, our trust is a little lower because maybe we haven't surrendered ourselves. You know, maybe we haven't submitted truly to the word. And we go up. And as we do submit and as we do grow in our spiritual life, you know, these dips maybe just a little bit more, maybe a little bit. And maybe, you know, they dips a little less as we grow, you know, but that trust is always there. You know, that trust is how we navigate through not only 2021, because I'm not looking back, you know, I'm going to look forward. And that's how we all should look. We should always look forward, you know, forget the past because the present is a present, right? And it's, now is the time, and we should seize the time to be joyful, to be in the word, to forge a better path for ourselves. Right. Amen.